I have a question for you this afternoon. It's a simple question. What do you know about angels? You know, if you look up on the internet and type in the word angels, there's all kind of things that show up. And one of the first things is that a lot of people believe that angels do not exist. That's one of the first things that I noticed as I looked at the word angels on the internet. However, the Bible clearly teaches the existence of angels. The Greek word that is used for angel and also the Hebrew word that is used there originally mean messenger. So that an angel is really a messenger. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And if you notice in our responsive reading in Psalm 91, it stated that God shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So we believe that this is a reference to guardian angels. How God has angels, messengers, that are here in this earth. We may not always be able to see them, but they're there to look after us and to look after our needs. One writer put it this way. He said, angels are messengers from God, creatures of good, spirits of love, and messengers of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Quite an interesting way of putting it, and yet very appropriate. Angels are messengers from God, creatures of good, spirits of love, and messengers of the Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the angels mentioned in the Bible by name, not all of them are mentioned by name, but one that is mentioned by name is Gabriel. And his name means, God is my strength. God is my strength. And in the passage that we have read in Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, we see that it is the angel Gabriel who appears to Mary. So we're dealing here with the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. Now, as I look at this passage here, 26 to 38, I don't want to take it in the order that we see it here in the Bible, but rather, I'd like to change the order around slightly. And I want to begin with Gabriel's words about Jesus. Gabriel's words about Jesus in verses 31 to 33. We see that the angel Gabriel comes. He is sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And so he comes to Mary, but he has a message for Mary. Now we'll look at Mary a little bit later on. But at this point, I want you to see, first of all, what Gabriel's words are about Jesus. And that would begin in verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. That's the first thing that we know about what Gabriel has to say to Mary about Jesus. His name shall be Jesus. Jesus is a Greek name. Those of you that are studying the doctrine of Christ on Wednesday evenings, we started out with that. The name Jesus is a Greek name. It's the equivalent of the Hebrew Joshua. So Joshua is the Hebrew name. The equivalent in Greek is Jesus. And the meaning of that is Jehovah is salvation. Or if you prefer to translate Jehovah, the Lord is salvation. So we see a very good point to begin. You know, and when the angel appeared to Joseph, and we talked about that a year ago, the Sunday before Christmas, I spoke from the message of the angel to Joseph. You know, and the angel said to Joseph, Gabriel, by the way, same angel, you know, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so the angel, as he comes to Mary, tells the same thing. His name shall be Jesus. The Lord saves. But that's not the only thing he has to say about Jesus. In verse 32, he shall be great. He shall be great. And if you think about the greatness, recently I spoke on some of the warnings in the book of Hebrews. And some of you will remember that. And of course, one of the warnings in the book of Hebrews was found in chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So he shall be great is what the angel says to Mary. That's what the angel has to say about Jesus. He shall be great. And he has brought great salvation. Not only has he brought great salvation, he is a prophet that is greater than Moses. You know, to the Jews, Moses was a great prophet. But Jesus is a greater prophet. In Hebrews still, chapter 3 and verse 3, for this man, referring to Jesus, was counted of worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house have more honor than the house. Alright? So, you know, you think about that. The one who has built the house has greater honor than the house itself, obviously. So the same when it comes to Jesus Christ, he is the creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he as the creator has made all of us. And so he is worthy of more glory. He is greater than Moses. And incidentally, the word greater kind of summarizes the whole book of Hebrews. Almost every chapter. Christ greater than the angels. Greater than Moses. Greater rest through Jesus Christ. So greater is the key word there. So you see already he has provided great salvation. He's a prophet greater than Moses. Chapter 4, he is a greater high priest. In chapter 4 and verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So he is a great high priest. That's what the angel said. He shall be great. He's provided great salvation. He is a prophet greater than Moses. He is a great high priest. And if you look at the book of Revelation, and there's several passages you could look at, but just chapter 17 in Revelation and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. Now the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So he shall be greater still when he shall be owned up as king. They crown him King of kings and Lord of lords. So certainly as the angel says, he shall be great, we know that that is very, very true. And then, still in verse 32, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. And he was so before he came into the world. From all eternity, he was the Son of God. If you look at John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, And without him was not anything made that was made. And he was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended or understood it not. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Son of the Highest. That again is what the angel Gabriel has to say about Jesus. The Son of the Highest. He was so before he came into the world, and he was from all eternity the Son of God. Continuing in verse 32 now in Luke 1, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, we know that. As a king, he will sit upon the throne of David. But this is actually something that is still future. So that's something that we're still waiting for the full revelation. But he will sit upon the throne of David. And we will see him there. And then, verse 33, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And that also is still future. So he is not yet reigning over the house of Jacob forever. That's eternity. But we know that that will happen after the Lord Jesus returns. And then there's one more thought in verse 33, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. You know, when you look at world history, you see a number of great, well, some of them were kingdoms. You might look at Greece with Alexander the Great. Empire from Greece over into present-day Turkey, present-day Lebanon, Israel, Egypt. All that was part of the Greek Empire. But where is Greece today? Big problems for Greece today, isn't it? Especially economically. All right, some of you were in Greece a year ago. But, you know, all you see today of the greatness of Greece is ruins. A pillar here, a pillar there. You know, you may see the Parthenon. Fascinating sight. I've seen many pictures of it, but a year ago was the first time to actually see it in person. But that great Greek Empire gone. Taken over by the Romans. The Roman Empire was even more extensive. On the one hand, England, the Low Countries. I used to swim, fish, go boating in a canal that was dug by Julius Caesar. Well, not by him personally. I guess he got his man to do it. But, you know, that goes back. Holland was under the Roman Empire back pretty near 2,000 years ago. You know, going from there through Germany, Switzerland, Italy, obviously, because it was a Roman Empire. They took over that Greek Empire, Greece, present-day Turkey, the Holy Land, North Africa, a huge empire. But where are they today? Well, you think of some of these great areas or these great empires. Think of the British Empire under Queen Victoria. It was said that the sun did not set on the British Empire because it spread out all over the world. Australia was part of that, wasn't it? Singapore, Malaysia, part of the British Empire. India, part of the British Empire. Kenya, Tanzania. As a matter of fact, going to Myanmar, Burma, part of the British Empire. And so wherever you travel, whether it was in North America, Africa, Asia, the British Empire was there. But the British Empire is not so great today, is it? Look at the United States, world power declining, China up and coming. But all these will end. They shall all pass away, but not the kingdom of Christ. Of His kingdom there shall be no end. Daniel actually has some things to say about that, which is quite interesting. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nation, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That is the kingdom of Christ. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. So quite a few things then that the angel Gabriel has to say about Jesus Christ. Name shall be Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. He shall be great, provided great salvation, greater than Moses, great high priest, greater when he is crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of the Highest. He will sit on the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now all this is what the angel tells Mary. But now let's look at the couple of verses before that, 28 through 30, as we know Gabriel's words about Mary. Because Gabriel has also four things to say about Mary. First of all, he says that she is highly favored. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Alright? You are highly favored. Now, she is not to be worshipped. She is not the mother of God, as some people claim. But we must recognize that she is highly honored as the mother of our Lord. She is highly favored. So we have to find a balance there. You know, there are some that give too much emphasis to Mary, and that's wrong. Mary is not a co-redemptrix, as some people claim. You know, she has a part to do in salvation together with Jesus. When we pray to Mary because Mary will pray to Jesus and Jesus will do what his mother asks him. That's wrong. So some give too much honor to Mary. But you know, it's the old story of the pendulum swinging back and forth. So the pendulum has swung this way, it's gone too far, Mary gets too much honor, so it swings the other way, and Mary does not get enough honor. Because we must recognize that she is highly favored, highly honored as the mother of our Lord. So that's the first thing that we might say that Gabriel has to say about Mary, that she is highly favored. And the next thing that he says, still in verse 28, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with you. And that is certainly true. The Lord is with Mary. But then we have to realize that the Lord is with all of us. Not just with Mary, but he is with you and me as well. Jesus himself said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So wherever we are, wherever we go, we know that Jesus is with us. And so Mary knew that the Lord is with thee. And then the angel also says to Mary, the Lord, or blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou among women. Well, you know, during the last 6,000 or so years, there have been a lot of women walking upon this earth. You know, right now, world population, 7 billion people, is that roughly half women, half men. We're talking about 3.5 billion women living on this earth. But the angel says, blessed are you, Mary, among women, because it is evident that one woman only out of the countless millions, countless billions, we might even say, of the human race, could be the means whereby God could be manifest in the flesh. And the Virgin Mary had the mighty privilege of being that one. So we see that she is blessed among women. There be many women in the world, but only Mary has the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. And then we see then the last part there, you know, he says, thou hast found favor with God in verse 30. In verse 29, Mary was troubled at his saying, cast in her mouth what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. J.C. Ryle, Bishop J.C. Ryle said this, by one woman, sin and death were brought into the world at the beginning. So I think we know that. When we go back to the Genesis account in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You remember that story. How the serpent came, tricked Eve, and she ate of the forbidden fruit. And then she gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So by one woman then, sin and death were brought into the world at the beginning. But then, in contrast, by the childbearing of one woman, life and immortality were brought to life when Christ was born. No wonder that this one woman was called highly favored and blessed. That's last this year. A quote from Bishop J.C. Ryle. So by one woman, sin and death were brought into the world. But then, by one woman also, life and immortality were brought to life when Christ was born. So Mary found favor with God. And so we have looked at the words of the angel about Jesus, the words of the angel about Mary. And now, lastly, we want to look at Mary's response to Gabriel's words. How did Mary respond? What did she say in return? Two things. First of all, in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's the first one. How can this all happen? I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How can this be that I'm going to have a child? And the angel Gabriel explains. Verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So the angel explains. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Now, we may not be able to understand this fully, but we believe it, because the Bible says it. Whatever the Bible says is so. So we may not fully understand it, but we do believe it. As I was preparing for this message, I came across one pastor writing and saying, when I was in seminary, they taught us that the virgin birth did not happen, that it is impossible. He said, I disagree with my seminary professors. And he actually said he had a big argument with his seminary professors. How good for him. Seminary professors sometimes don't believe, but the Bible says it. And we believe it. Because whatever the Bible says is so. And so we believe in the virgin birth. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that's how you will be with child. So that's the first thing there. And then, in verse 37, Gabriel adds, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. How can it be? Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But I don't fully understand. Well, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Questions and doubts may arise in our minds about our faith. But with Him who called the world into being and formed it out of nothing, everything is possible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. The God who made the laws of nature. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the God who created the heavens and the earth, He put the sun and the moon and the stars in their courses. He set the laws of nature. And if He wants to, He can set aside the laws of nature. If He cannot do it, then the laws of nature would be greater than He is. But rest assured, He is greater than these laws of nature. And He can set them aside if He wants to do that. So the virgin birth, very clearly taught here in the Word of God. So that's the first question Mary has, or the first response that Mary has, asking a question. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Alright? There's the answer. The Holy Spirit, He will come upon you, and you will be the child of the Holy Ghost. And then the second thing that we should notice, what Mary says in verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And then you see the angel departed from her. She says, the handmaid of the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. Whatever God wants, I am willing to do. Be it unto me according to thy word. Now, this, if you look at it, you know, Mary's submission here, you know, whatever, that's all right, you know, is an instance of the holiest courage. You know, again, we don't want to dwell on this, but, you know, she cannot but become for a time an object of suspicion to Joseph, but also to the other people there in Nazareth. Because here she is. She is betrothed, let's say engaged, although the betrothal in Bible times was more than just the engagement that we see today. So here she is. All of a sudden, she's suspecting a baby. Joseph, we read that in Matthew chapter 1. He was wondering, what shall I do? Well, that's when the angel Gabriel came to him and said, don't worry. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You go ahead and marry her. And he did. And the Bible says, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. So the angel came to Joseph. But initially Joseph, hey, my girlfriend, my fiance, she's expecting. And I know I'm not the father. How can my? How is it possible? So, and then of course, obviously, the other people in Nazareth, hey, did you hear? Mary? Mm-hmm, yeah. So she's kind of, you know, in a very difficult position. You have to realize that. That's why I say an object of suspicion, you know, to many people. Look what she has done. I wonder who the father is. Her reputation for a time will be at stake. But she bows to the divine will. Whatever God wants, be it unto me according to thy word. She asked God to do with her as He pleases. Faith alone could sustain her in such circumstances. And God would vindicate her character in due season. She was willing. Whatever it is, I am going to do it according to your word. She realized he was a spokesman, a messenger from God, an angel. But you know, as you look at this whole thing here, let me give you some thoughts by one of the commentators, a man by the name of Edgar. He said this: how much are we willing to risk for our Lord? Would we risk reputation, the most precious portion of our heritage? Now he's talking about Mary, but now he says, what about you and what about me? How much are we willing to risk for our Lord? Would we risk reputation, the most precious portion of our heritage, if God clearly asked us to do so? This was what Mary was ready to do. In other words, are we ready to put God before personal reputation? Is he worthy in our eyes even of such a sacrifice? Good question, isn't it? To think about that. Mary did not worry about her reputation. She said, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm the maidservant of the Lord. Whatever he wants, I will accept. Well, let us, in our daily practical Christian life, exercise the same blessed spirit of faith that Mary exhibited. Let us be willing to go anywhere, do anything, be anything, whatever be the present and immediate inconvenience, so long as God's will is clear and the path of duty is plain. God leads. Are we willing to do what he wants us to do? Mary was. And that's why we have a wonderful example here in Mary. Her humility, her faith, her willingness to do what God says, be it unto me according to thy word. Can you and I say the same? Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the name of Jesus, that beautiful name, that wonderful name. Lord, we have heard Gabriel's words about Jesus. We've also noticed Gabriel's words about Mary. And we have seen Mary's response to Gabriel's words. Lord, may we be like Mary, willing to do your will. As Mary said that she was the handmaid of the Lord, may we be willing to be the servants of the Lord. And may it be unto us according to the word of the Lord. May we be willing to go anywhere, to do anything, to be anything, whatever be the inconveniences, the troubles, but Lord, as long as it is thy will, that we may be willing to obey, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.